bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
12:15 on the Bottom Line at 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff, Josh, and Christian behind the glass slide and slides taking care of us today on the Bottom Line. Get your thoughts in on the 8th Flooring Center chat line at 107thescore.com as we ask the all-important question, Josh, and I pose it to you first. How does Texas Tech win this game?
I think it's going to be splash plays. I think that K-State had a problem with splash plays and has had a problem with splash plays. And I think that, you know, with Miles Price, not himself waking up, but that sort of connection between Donovan Smith and Miles Price waking up last week, you kind of hope that evolves and adapts. K-State has had a problem with that. Oklahoma got some great yardage against them, and it seemed to be the only way, actually, that they could move against K-State. And so I think Tech is capable of that. I think that's how it happens. I think it's going to be the big plays, the down the field, the explosive plays that I think our running backs and Miles Price especially are capable of.
I like that answer. Christian.
So I'm actually going to go kind of opposite of that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just because the big plays, you score quick. And you get off the field, and your defense has to come on. I don't have a problem with our defense being on the field, but I do think we need to keep their offense off the field. Much like the NFL game changed to the Chiefs, how they evolved to get Pat off the field. I think we're going to have to do that with having Martinez and Deuce Vaughn in the backfield just running it up. I think we're going to have to keep them off the field. So I think we do a little bit of what we saw last week with the 18 play drives against Texas, getting that back off the field, and do the same thing this week with Deuce Vaughn and Martinez. So the slow, monotonous drives.
Slow, monotonous drives. Okay. It's interesting to me that you guys both looked at the offensive side of the ball for this.
Yeah.
I am squarely looking at your defense for how you win this football game. No matter what we've seen from Tech's offense, this year, they've been ineffective at times. They have turned the ball over incessantly at times. They have tried running the football on first down into the line and gotten no yards on back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back first downs. So much so that people are going, I wonder what we're going to do now on first down. But the steady hand that you have had this year for the Tech football team, the Labrador retriever that you can rely on, has been your defensive side of the ball. And I know that saying the defensive side of the ball is kind of cheating, because in offense we're looking at specific players. We're looking at Miles Price. We're looking at Donovan Smith. We're looking at any one of your running backs, whether it be Taj Brooks or Sir Roger Thompson. But your defense, it doesn't matter if it's first and 10 from your 25 or double overtime against Texas. They have pulled the Gandalf from Lord of the Rings saying none shall pass. And that's what happens. And in years past, we've seen some situations where your defense got put into a bad situation and they crumbled like a cookie that, you know, didn't have enough butter in it. If you ever do any baking, you know what that's like. It's really bad cookies. They don't taste good.
Sure.
And they've just gone out there and, like, said game on and had teams get pushed back, whether it be with penalties or with sacks, which Texas Tech has a pass rush. I'm going to say that again. Texas Tech has a pass rush. Do you know how long we have been waiting for Texas Tech to have a pass rush? It's been fun to watch, and it's not just a pass rush against Murray State. We've always had a pass rush against Murray State.
Sure.
And we had a pass rush against Texas. We controlled the line against Texas on the defensive side of the ball. That was fun. I one vote for yes on that, please. Thank you very much.
I'd agree on that side, too. I think that I think the defense actually matches up well as far as strength goes, because their wide receivers, I'm actually not worried about. I think I actually looked it up the other day, and they don't have a play greater than 30 yards in the game so far. But absolutely, those running backs and Adrian Martinez himself, you worry about. But one of Tech's strengths is their front seven, you know, and that's ideally how you want to match up against them.
When I see your front seven versus their five plus two, and I'm saying plus two in this being their quarterback and their running back.
Right.
I like those odds. I also think that this is definitely a game where it's going to be spy versus spy. Somebody, his whole job in life is going to be make sure Martinez doesn't cross the line of scrimmage. Everybody else can play whatever coverage they want to, whatever the call is. His directions go in at the first snap and do not stop until the end of the game. Don't let him cross the line of scrimmage.
I agree. Those are the breakdown of plays are kind of where it gets dangerous.
Yeah, we're not talking about the breakdown. It's positive. They can break down.
Yeah.
Somewhere else, I think that you can have success in tomorrow's game, and this sounds nuts because of how good they have been at it. If you can corral their special teams, which while we've been frustrated with kickoff, I mean with kickoff return and punt return, those have been very frustrating for the Red Raiders this year. You've been pretty good on kickoff and punt return and punt teams. I mean, Austin's not been punting like we expect him to, but your coverage has been good. And that's really where some of the things that Kansas State has done to you in the past has been on the third side of the ball.
Right.
You might have won offense and defense, but they'd run a kickback for six, and you're just like, we just got the lead. You didn't play offense yet. Although it was nice because our defense got a break. But if you can continue to do that against this Kansas State team, I like your chances tomorrow.
I agree. I think there's a lot to look forward to. I do think that, staying positive, I think Tech has a very solid chance of taking home the win on this one.
Kicking game. How are you feeling about your kicker?
Not great, but I like that, you know, he won the game basically twice last week. You know, short of the defense, you know, one of the few problems the defense had last week, not problems, that's a bad way to put it. You know, it was one play they let through. It just happened to lead to them, you know, giving up the 3 points the very end of the game.
Yeah,
before overtime.
Worst defensive stand you have made it all season, it felt like.
Yeah, but on that, we got those 3 points. And short of the defense letting that off, he got the 3 points again. You know, he won the game twice. So, you know, I'm not feeling, you know, it's not a perfect by any means, but, you know, last week, if we're trying to feel good about everything, you know, the offense finally got going, the defense remained as steady as ever, then you want to take the positives of the kicking game too.
At the beginning of the season, as we were coming out of camp, I was very nervous for your kicking situation with regards to your place kicker. Neither one of the two guys had really stood out in camp at that point, and you could tell because they were still working on it first couple of games. And then Wolf got back to being Wolf a little bit, and that's been nice to see. He hasn't been perfect, but he's been a whole lot better than where he was early in the season. And I do think that kicking is kind of like a shooter in basketball.
Okay.
If they're in a rut, sometimes you just need to see the ball go through the hoop once.
Okay, yeah, I get that.
And Wolf may just needed to have seen the ball go through the uprights a couple of times to be like, okay, I remember how to do this now. And I'm not in the kid's head. I'm not hanging out with the kid after class. But that's kind of what it feels like with the way he's been kicking recently, that the confidence level is very high. Plus, getting basically two game winners against Texas, that's got to have you walking pretty high.
Yeah, he's got to feel good about that.
Let's change the saying. Kicker's got to kick.
No, because ultimately I'd rather him just have to kick extra points than have to kick the field goal to try to tie or win. I would much rather have Taj not slipped in overtime and been able to run that in, because he was gone had he not slipped.
You would take the six over the three.
Oh,
you know,
every time.
Any situation.
I don't know that anybody would take the three over the – well, I actually take that back. We've seen some coaches that would have taken the 3 over the 6. Yeah. So, defense, special teams, and your wide receivers making plays is what we're thinking for how Tech wins this football game.
Yeah, even though we had different opinions about how the offense does it, I think we.
Well, I'm in on all of that. I like all of that idea. We don't have to worry about it now, right? We've all said it's going to happen, so now it's going to happen. And then this thought comes on the 8th Floor Center chat line, but we never beat K-State. I was doing fine until you said that. Now I'm back in the dumps. 0-6. Coming up, we're going to change gears just a little bit and get our play of the day in. I'm a little nervous because I don't know what he's picked today. And it could be another Spanish play. If it's another Spanish play, it could be fun. But if it's soccer, I'm going to have no idea what the heck it is. It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
At number 4 in the country in a very good conference.
Lurking and waiting. First down and 10, Kansas State. On the quarterback draw. Oh, gosh! And a fumble, and Texas Tech got it back originally. Oh, my gosh. And it's Slay again. I'm telling you, they told us what a hitter this man is on the Red Racer defense. We saw him yesterday.
He's bigger than me.
He is enormous, yeah. And he just hits as hard, I think, as any football player I've ever
That's
seen.
That's unbelievable.
Makes me happy. Makes everybody happy that hears that, that wears the red and black. Dwayne Slay against Kansas State. He doesn't have any eligibility left, right? I mean, I'm not saying that you need him, but he could be fun to still have on the defensive side.
Oh, it would definitely help. I might put him at, like, a pass-rushing outside linebacker, you know, more than a safety at this point, because the game's a little bit different. They throw it more now, but excuse me, I think since he played in the NFL with the Bears, that his eligibility is up. So yeah. I think you're unfortunately out of luck there, but he sure was a lot of fun to watch.
Start popping out kids anytime.
I also don't know if Dwayne Slay would stay in very many games in today's era.
Yeah, no.
With the new rules.
We'd have to change his name to Dwayne Targeting Slay.
Yeah.
But
do wish we had Dwayne for this half Slay.
Yes.
Yeah, because it feels like he'd be getting booted more than most.
But it's a happy thought going into the Kansas State game this weekend. In Manhattan, Red Raiders looking to continue a positive streak, one that started against Texas, which normally that's not how these conversations start, Jamie. Normally it's a looking to bounce back after a loss from Texas. So to ask you the question that we asked earlier, how does Texas Tech win this game?
Well, I think there are a few things that have to happen. Number one, I think you have to be able to contain their run game. And by that, I mean, I think you can still give up, I don't know, as a team, you know, 150 to 175 and still have a chance to win this game. But you can't let them have a 250-plus game, anything like that, probably. Anything north of 200, and it's going to be really, really difficult. So I think that's where it starts for me. And when you talk about the run game, include their quarterback, Martinez, but, you know, I think he played great last weekend against Oklahoma. We just haven't seen that much of that from him. So I don't know if that was really who he is that we saw last week, or is he really the guy that we've seen over the course of the last 4 years at Nebraska and now at Kansas State, who is a whole lot more mediocre than he was last weekend against Oklahoma. The other side of the ball is, I think you have to be able to stay on the field. I think that starts with, that's an obvious thing, but I think that starts with you being good on first and second down. I don't think you can get in these situations where it's third and long and you're relying on Donovan Smith and the wide receiver core and the offensive line to have to pick up a bunch of first downs through the air when the defense knows, okay, it's a passing situation here, and they're going to pin their ears back and they're going to attack that offensive line. So I think being good on first and second down will go a long way in helping you be good on third down or maybe even fourth down too, and keeping you on the field and in drives.
When we were talking about this earlier, the first thing that I looked at is your defense, and much like you mentioned, the defending the run, they need to continue to do what you've done. They've been the constant that you've had this year for the Tech team, that no matter what situation you've put them in, offensive from the offensive side of the ball, they have gone out there and just put up stops. They're not perfect by any state of the imagination. We saw that on the last drive in regulation against Texas, but it was also the worst 26 seconds of defense they'd played in the entire game at that point. And the Texas wide receiver made a play. That's going to happen in a football game.
Yeah, sure.
But still, you aren't in that game without what your defense was doing earlier in that game.
Oh, no question. I will say that your defense is pretty bad on their first drive, too. What was it, 3 plays, 4 plays? I mean, they made it look so incredibly easy. I mean, you can come close to stopping them for a decent gain. I mean, they just mowed you down, which shows I have all the more respect for the fact that Tech was able to make some adjustments. I mean, even on their second drive, they drove right down the field and it looked like they were in the same situation. And then you got a stop, forced a field goal, and then it was game on.
Yeah, I was up and down a ladder at that point.
Made some adjustments, and that's what you like to see, right? Not just, hey, we've got a game plan and we're going to stick to it no matter what. They made some adjustment, made some changes, and it seemed to work out for them, obviously.
Have you seen a change in the defense under Tim DeRuiter with regards to the lack? And we've seen lots of examples of this over the last few years where here we go again on the defense, offense putting us in a bad situation, offense putting us back out there after 17 seconds have gone off the clock. That in the past, it would felt like, really? Could you not give us a minute to, all right, cool, let's go. Let's go make some plays. Because I feel like that change has happened with this defense. And it's largely the same cast of characters you had last year.
Mm-hmm.
So while Joey McGuire is your MVP, is Tim DeRuiter your sixth man of the year for your Texas Tech football team in a basketball award type situation? That he's the spark that keeps the defense going and has them in the right direction?
Man, that's a good question. So we're just saying it's a slam dunk. Joey McGuire is the MVP at this point.
Well, he's the head coach, and everybody's
his decision making definitely led you to a victory last week. There's no question there with the gambles on fourth down. DeRuiter would have to be high on that list. You would definitely have to rank him ahead of Zach Kittley right now because you feel like the defense has outperformed the offense.
And
I think the defense had a lot more coming back, a lot more experience than the offense did.
Well, 100%.
Yeah, a lot less question marks. So maybe that's a little bit easier for DeRuiter, but I do feel like he's kind of taken them to a different level than where they were last year.
And if you factor in the concept that once camp finished and they were getting ready for game week mode and Tyler Shuck had been named your starting quarterback, the offense, we kept hearing that he was far above everybody with regards to the quarterback competition. If that was true, you lost your number one guy on offense or your leader on offense in the very first game.
Right.
You haven't lost that guy on defense. That would be let's not even mention that. He's fine. We're not discussing that. We're not jinxing him in any way, shape, or form. But you've been very healthy on defense and gotten more guys back as the season has gone on than lost guys on defense. So not only are they more talented group-wise, they are more healthy group-wise as well.
Yeah, that's fair to say. That's fair to say. And I think I don't want to say lucky, but at the same time, you're at a position where you lost your leader, your quarterback. You felt like you had a pretty good one right behind him. I mean, if you lost a Tyree Wilson or a Krishan Merriweather right now, I think that would be a much more difficult guy to replace, unfortunately, than your quarterback was.
It's hard to replace Michael Jordan. On defense?
I don't know that either one of those could be called Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan's defense with regard to that. Yeah. Tyree's not playing offense.
Might be a bit of a stretch there.
This thought off the Ace Lawrence Center chat line very quickly. I loved how they showed the replay of Slay hit over and over, and every time the crowd still went, ooh.
Yeah.
All right. It's the bottom line.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Bottom Line at 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire filling in for Clint Scott, who will be on with Chuck Hines over on Tech Talk later today at 3 o'clock on Double T 97.3, sitting alongside Jamie Lindt, who's the one guy who's in his chair where he's supposed to be. As Christian's behind the glass slides and pushing buttons, taking care of us. Jackson's over there. I'm not sure what Jackson is doing.
Just observing.
Is he observing, Christian, or are you teaching him? Because I could see it going either way.
It's a little bit of both. You know?
That's fair.
Wisdom both ways.
excuse me. Something that I can't get over right now. And I'm kind of going through the book, trying to find that last time that it happened, even close to what Texas Tech is dealing with right now, and having some success in it even. But this stretch of six games here with five ranked opponents is insane.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the gauntlet of the Big 12 before, and I've gone through Tommy Tuberville backwards. You have faced four and five ranked teams in a year. Never back to back to back to back. Never even close to what you got this year, where you've just got one week in there mm-hmm. where a team isn't ranked. When the schedule came out this year, this was the stretch that I was like, I don't like this stretch. This four little game window, I'm not a fan of. With Houston, NC State, Texas, and Kansas State, I was very worried of the 2-4 start at the beginning of the year.
Right. And I think most people were in that boat. And that's why at three wins already, boy, if you had told me before the season started that you would be 3-3, I'd have been pretty excited. I would have felt like, okay, you've got a great chance to be bowl eligible at this point. To get bowl eligible and maybe even more. And I don't disagree with that. I obviously am still in that camp. But it does feel a little bit, and I don't particularly like the term, so I don't want to say, oh, you're playing with house money at this point. But I'm not going to say that, because every game means something. Every game you win, it's a better bowl, whatever. Plus, now that we're in Big 12 play, I mean, we're playing teams that we don't like. So we really want to beat those guys. So I don't want to act like it doesn't matter if you don't lose the next two. But I think that even if you did and you got through this really tough stretch, you would say to yourself, self, I feel pretty good about where the Red Raiders are. Now, if they go out and lay an egg and look terrible over the next two games against Oklahoma State and Kansas State, then maybe you don't feel as good about 3-3. But if you play them well and you lose two games by, you know, a touchdown or less, you're probably still feeling pretty good about this team. And then you're looking ahead and saying, okay, if we can play that well against ranked teams, and we've got a chance to do some really good stuff here towards the end of the season. And so that's why, even though there's been some ups and downs so far this year, really the downs have come more on the offensive side of the ball than anything, you know, I'm in a mode where I'm excited about the possibility of, you know, maybe we're not talking about six wins at the end of the year. Maybe it's more. I don't know. I'm still not ready to predict that. But, boy, it sure does feel like you've got a good chance to do that. And, man, if you get one of these next two, then you will really be thinking that.
100%.
If you get one of these next two and only end up with six wins, I think that'd be pretty disappointing.
The two closest comparisons for what you are in the middle of now to teams of the past that I can quickly find. 2011, you played three back-to-back, had an off week, and then played two top 25 teams with Texas A&M, Kansas State, Oklahoma, Iowa State, and then Texas and Oklahoma State. You added a sixth game at the end of it with Baylor, but again, that's, you had two different teams in there that weren't.
Sure.
And the other one, which I always kind of feel like I hate when I bring this one up, because it's like the de facto answer for almost everything, is 2008.
You played good teams, but you were really good too.
You were really good too. You also had a number one team on there, a number five team on there, a number eight team on there. Mm-hmm. You don't have that. Mm-hmm. While they're top 25, you're not facing that caliber of top 25 team right now.
Yeah, two of the three you beat up on. Or you got to win at least.
Yeah.
Got to win at least. But I guess, Jeff, we could, you know, flip it to the other side and say, as positive as you can be, saying, hey, you finished, or not you finished, but you've gotten out to this 3-1 start. And even if you lose the next two, you're 3-3. You're in a good spot. You look at the rest of the schedule and you say it's not as tough. But you also say there's not a gimme like there used to be, or two or three. I mean, there's still, every game is losable. And I would say every game is winnable too.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing you can count on. You're like, okay, if we get this fourth one, then this school and that school, done deal, we're in.
Right.
You can't say that. We don't really have any idea what's going to happen. That's why this weekend's really exciting for me as a Big 12 football fan. Because I feel like Oklahoma State and Baylor's going to tell us a lot. And I think Iowa State and Kansas is going to tell us a lot. I don't know that Oklahoma and TCU is, but...
No. Unless TCU just goes in there and smokes Oklahoma.
And there's probably a lot of people around the Big 12 conference outside of Manhattan and Lubbock that are saying the same thing about this game. Yeah, we'll find out what Texas Tech really is. Oh, we'll find out
what Kansas State is.
We'll
right.
see if Kansas State is Tulane, Kansas State. Or Oklahoma, Kansas State.
And is Tech Houston and Texas, or are they NC State? Mm-hmm. With regards to what you expect to see. That's kind of what conference play is supposed to do, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's help separate the wheat from the chaff, to put it in an agricultural term. And I like it. I like facing the tough competition. I like the fact that with this back-to-back-to-back situation you've got going on, there's no chance to overlook a team. It's not we've got Texas coming up, so there's a chance we might overlook who we're playing. Oh, look, they're ranked 15th in the country. Can't overlook them. Cool, we got past Texas. We got Kansas State that we're 0-6 to, that has got that number next to them. And then Oklahoma State, who's got another number next to them. You keep geared up in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have kind of talked about this before off air, but I'm not the fastest worker. I'm not I'm probably one of the longer workers, but that's just because I'm insane. I'm a get the job done type guy. I don't want to take four or five breaks during a 12-hour day if I'm doing I want to just keep going until the job's done, so then I can break. Because then that letdown, I can actually relax and breathe. That's what this schedule is. We're just going to keep working. There's not a let up game in the middle of this. There's not a get a chance to relax and enjoy it. You've got to be ready for the next one, so you keep geared up for it. You're keeping that motor running forward, as opposed to stopping and having to get it go again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to put it in a baseball term, it's the baseball team that is fighting for their division title at the end of the regular season.
Instead of coasting,
and then gets in the playoff, and they're still running on all eight cylinders.
Yeah.
Which is why maybe your Yankees are going to do some well, because they've had to play some good baseball at the end of the year to win the AL East this year. They coasted in the middle and then went, oh, wait, we got to get going here, and did it at the right time.
They didn't coast in the middle. They fell off their bike, and a bully came over and kicked him in the head for about a month and a half straight.
But then they figured it out, and they got into the fight, and they won the fight.
Okay.
I'm trying to help your Yankees out here. I'm trying to make you feel better about the Yankees on a Friday.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Let me be nice to you, please.
I'm afraid you bring up the Yankees and people are going to just start getting outraged. The furor with that people have about the cut-ins during the football games. I just read an article that suggested that you'll probably see it again on ESPN this weekend. I don't know if you'll see it on ESPN Plus, but I don't. But you'll see it again this weekend, and I'm sure that's going to make a lot of football fans not happy.
Maybe it's because I'm a baseball fan that doesn't bother me. And I remember the McGuire-Sosa chase and the Bonds chase, and they were doing the same thing then.
Yeah, it felt like a bigger deal to me then. It felt like a bigger deal then.
We weren't jaded then. We've been jaded with baseball since then on a couple of occasions.
I'm not the guy to ask just because I'm not the guy that needs to see it live or instantaneously or whatever. I mean, the other night, and he's one of my favorite players. I found out like an hour after it happened, and I was totally good with that. Totally good with it.
Coming up, it's take versus take. I've got the Q's. These two have the A's.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Just after 2 on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 100.7 The Score mobile app. Jeff McGuire in for Clint Scott, sitting alongside Jamie Lent. Christian sliding slides, pushing buttons behind the glass, taking care of us. Jackson over there as well, doing whatever Jackson does. He's not even really sure either. As we keep you going for one more hour here on the Bottom Line before we send you over to the Tech Talk boys, which, Jamie, you have some explaining to do.
Splaining.
Chuck and Clint on a Friday before a Kansas State game.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just making sure we get all the vinegar out as we get ready to take on the Wildcats before Saturday? Was that the plan all along?
There's no two people in this building that hate Kansas State more than those two.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true.
So we'll just let them get it all out.
And it can be the echo chamber for the two of them, too, because they can compare hate stories about Kansas State.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep.
How many times do we hear the Wabash Cannonball brought up?
Probably never, since they hate it so much.
Well, no, bringing up that they hate it. That goes into their hate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something to listen for at 2 o'clock. At 3 o'clock over on Double T97.3. Okay, Jamie, so we've talked a little bit about this Texas Tech football game against Kansas State coming up and how the ways we think the Red Raiders will win this game or can win this game. How do you think this game is going to go? I could absolutely see one play being the difference in this game, whether it be a special teams play, whether it's a big defensive stop on a fourth down, or your offense making a first down late in this game to kind of seal it. But up until that one play, it could go either way. Part of that is what scares me about this game, because in these situations, Kansas State has been the better team over the last six tries, and it hasn't been close in that regard. Where are you at in this?
I think it'll be a close game. I do think that a defensive or special teams play could play a big factor, especially since you tend to gamble a little bit with both. And so maybe it's a positive for the Red Raiders, but maybe it's not. And you kind of open yourself up. That's what the whole risk reward thing is about. But I do think it could be a factor. I'm interested to see if you're continuing to take the gamble on fourth downs as much as you did last week. Is that going to be the norm, or was that just a situation where it just seemed to happen a bunch of times? So I'm interested to see that. But I think it'll be a game that you'll see stay tight for most of the time. I feel good about the Red Raiders getting off to a good start. I just feel like Coach McGuire's done a great job with getting his guys ready to play, and they'll be fired up, feeling good about things after last week. So I expect Tech to get off to a good start in this one. Maybe it's just hope. Maybe it's wishful thinking. But ultimately, I think K-State will try to control the football with their run game, keep Tech's offense off the field, and that's what gives them a great chance to win this game.
Is this a game where you think the winner gets to 31st? First one to 30? Or is it even lower than that?
I think it's right around 30, so probably I would agree with the first statement.
Like, yeah. I could even see 25 being the winning score.
That wouldn't shock me. I mean, what was last year, 26-25?
Yeah, and all of yours was in the first half. That's what I remember about that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a – normally in this situation, for what I do for home games, I'm in a terrible situation to find out what it's like for the fans as they leave the stadium. Because I'm not there. I'm already getting our post-game show ready or getting back here, getting ready to help it get on the air here. But last year, we were at a place right next to campus for the post-game show. And when everybody left, there were a lot of people who were already sick of Wells at that point. And there were some people who were still kind of on the fence. They were leaning toward it, but they weren't completely out there, like, we win this game, we're okay, kind of concept and feeling. And just the amount of vinegar and fire and pitchforks that came out of the stadium that after that loss, I hadn't seen that before, or hadn't seen it in quite a while. That was different with regards to how the fan base felt after that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I only got to listen to it. And I was frustrated just listening to it. I can't even imagine what it was like watching it. The absolute ineffectiveness of everything you were trying to do and making Kansas State look good on every single play, it felt like, just listening to it. And I wasn't even watching.
Yeah, the second half was just plain ugly. I mean, Just offensively, nothing there for you. Defensively, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good by any stretch of the imagination. But at some point, you've got to score not just for the points that you're putting up there on the board, but to stop the slide and the momentum, and you were never close really to doing that.
Do we get a big special teams play in this game by one of the two teams? Is that the backbreaker for this game? Do you think it comes down to that? Who does a better job on special teams?
I would lean more towards thinking it would be a big play by a defense. Everybody looks at Kansas State and talks about how good they've been in special teams, which is true. I guess I just feel like, it's more likely that it's with the defense making a play one side or the other.
If that's the case, I feel better about this game.
Okay.
Because what are we talking about with Kansas State this year? Their running game. And your defense has been pretty good against the run this year. They've done a pretty good job of keeping other offenses in check.
Mm-hmm.
You were 1 yard over holding one of the best running backs in the Big 12 to under 100 yards, or at 100 yards. He had 101. So if it comes down to which defense is going to make a play, not saying the Kansas State doesn't have a solid defense, but I like your defense more than theirs. And I don't know that it's close. I think you got a better pass rush than they do. I also don't think you have as good of an offensive line, so that might neutralize out a little. That was mm-hmm. what I was looking for. And if it was the defensive line going against the defensive line, there's no question. Like if we had to replace our defensive line with our offensive line. Again, no question, I think. But your offensive line has improved. They had a good game against Texas. And maybe that's what they needed on the offensive line to finish gelling together and play better. They also haven't had the drastic holding penalties that have held you back either. You've had a couple, but not like what we've seen in the past. If they can keep that up, I like your chances on Saturday.
Yeah, special teams did a better job of avoiding the penalties last weekend. That was key, I felt, to you being a little bit better in the return game, the kickoff return game. I thought in the punt return game, Miles Price was a difference maker there. Not just getting to balls at a time and not letting them roll, but also getting a big return for you late in the contest. after you force them to a punt inside their own 10-yard line. So I think we've seen special teams get a little bit better. Let's just hope they just keep improving.
And keep kicking it through the uprights.
That too.
Be a big fan of that. Coming up, it is time for No Diggity. I've got a question for these guys to answer, I think.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
The amount of singing has been dramatically cut today. For some reason. I don't know why.
I'm not afraid to sing in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of it, especially driving around on my way back or even on the motorcycle in the helmet and just making my own songs while I'm on the road. I don't assume that people want to hear me sing, so I'm not torturing them in that way.
So what you're saying is Clint thinks people want to hear him sing?
I think he wants people to listen to him sing.
Is that what you're feeling as well, Christian?
I was actually saying Sneed.
Oh, he definitely wants people to hear him sing. And that's not a shot. Like, that's, I think he would admit to that, that he enjoys having the audience.
People to hear him, period.
Yeah. Even through a wall. And that's saying something coming from me. Like, a full, foamed up, Sneed a Rooney. Double thick.
Sneed a Rooney is a man of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Many talents?
Power? I mean, he must be heard. He is the official.
He is.
He's not some slapstick official. He's the official.
Right.
He needs to be heard. There's a level of responsibility that comes with that.
Okay, so it's time for No Diggity, where we ask a question. Or I should say, I ask a question to you guys, and you answer if it is diggity or no diggity. And I know that the two guys in that room are not Cowboys fans in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
So they're probably going to go diggity on this just by default. So, Jamie, I'm trusting in your neutral feelings toward the Cowboys to give a balanced answer. Okay. Because being a Cowboy fan, I want to go no diggity just by saying Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard will be the reason that this Cowboys team makes the playoffs this year.
I'm going to go 100% diggity.
Diggity.
I feel like your defensive front.
Okay.
Micah Parsons.
That's probably a better.
That's going to be the reason you're going to make the playoffs if you make the playoffs.
I should have been a little more specific, offensively speaking, with those two guys leading your offense to the playoffs. I worded that question poorly. I apologize.
Okay, so if I was only answering for the offensive side of things, I probably would have to agree with you. Okay? Because I don't think your wide receiver core is terrible. I just don't think there's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
CD Lamb is not a dominant number one, although I think he's really good. And it'll be interesting to see when Michael Gallup comes back and what we're able to see from him. But this passing attack just doesn't scare me, whether it's Cooper Rush or Dak Prescott playing quarterback.
I lean more toward a little scary when Dak is playing because I do feel like Dak is a better runner.
Sure.
And that adds an element that the defense has to be ready for, which also opens up some passing lanes for some guys.
Okay.
But offensively speaking, this Cowboys team for a while, and they got away from this because Kellen Moore likes throwing the football and doesn't realize that he's got two really good running backs that he could just pound through his offensive line. That is supposed to be one of the better ones in the league.
Yeah, but you've had so many injuries in that offensive line. They maybe have the potential to be one of the better ones, but they've just dealt with so many injuries over the last couple of seasons.
And they're not as good as they were. But I also feel like you've wasted some really good offensive lines
that
were meant to move mountains to try to, and this is an analogy that isn't going to land very well, but the difference between moving a mountain and blocking a river is, it's a lot harder to block a river because it's going to find a way around. Defensive ends are going to find a way to get around you eventually. I'm pulling some terms out of a video game, and I apologize for that. But in aerial combat, the bomber always gets through. You can send enough bombers to overwhelm any air defense. The bomber gets through. It may cost you everything you've got to get the bomber through, but if you're looking at just one target, like the quarterback, it's the defensive end's going to get there eventually.
Sure.
You can't block him forever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can move mountains, and they don't move after you've moved them. And that's what your run game can do. And you've wasted so much of the talent that you had on the offensive line the wrong direction because Kellen Moore loves passing the football. And I like passing the football too. But if I had a top 10 pick in the draft as a running back and that offensive line, I don't need a quarterback. I need to hand him the ball and get out of the way.
Sure. Sure.
And that's what's frustrating as a Cowboy fan. I'm now going to pitch this to the non-Cowboy fans over there. And I say, like, anti-Cowboy fans even. Christian. Diggity or no diggity?
Christian's team is...
Kansas City. My team is Pat.
Your team is Pat.
Yeah. Nothing Pat. Wrong with that.
I'm not going to lie.
Team Pat.
Wherever he goes, I will follow.
So you think they're going to get rid of him at some point?
No, not at all. I mean, he has a huge contract. I just think if he were to leave, I would follow him. But besides the point...
He will follow Pat.
I'm going to have to go...
Wherever he may go.
See, the real reason I'm not singing is because I knew if I waited long enough, Jamie would. And I was kind of hoping it would be Beastie Boys.
I'm going to have to go half diggity, half no diggity. I can't really decide just because that offense... Because you said Zeke and Pollard.
Right. The combo.
Not Zeke.
Just
I'm
Pollard.
Done. I'm done with Zeke.
Okay.
You paid the man too much money. He's not producing like he did. It's now Pollard's backfield. Let him take it over. Let him run the ball. And let the Pollard train go.
Jackson?
I'm going to go about 75% diggity. Because if they do make the playoffs...
You're allowed to do that.
You're allowed... On a yes or no question, you're allowed to say 75% yes or no.
Yes.
Okay.
Because if they do make the playoffs, it will be off the legs of their running backs. But that's a big if.
Yeah, there's a huge if.
And I agree with Christian that I think it's time for a change in the backfield. I think it's time for Pollard to be the main guy. And I know you paid Zeke a lot, and it looks dumb, but Zeke is better at other things than Pollard. But Pollard needs to be on the field more than he is.
While I am not infected by the enamoration that Chuck Hines had with Ezekiel Elliott's physical stature coming into camp 2 years ago, that it's the best shape he's ever been in. Look how great he looks.
He does look good.
Yeah, I was reminded that he didn't look good the year before. Zeke last year, though, gained a little bit of respect from me because he was playing hurt all year last year with that deep thigh bruise. And a deep thigh bruise for a running back normally has them on the bench. And when you've got Pollard running as well as you did, he was still out there. He wasn't Zeke of his rookie season. But he was a good running back last year. He pulled his weight last year. Not the weight of his contract, but the weight of a player on an NFL roster. I wasn't disappointed with Zeke last year. And knowing that he was hurt all year long, and you never heard him complain about it. The only time you ever heard about it is when you looked at the injury report and that he was technically listed as questionable every week because he was rehabbing his leg all week long. But he was playing in every game. You never heard him once complain about it. I know if I've got a pulled muscle in my back that just trying to breathe sucks, And this is a running back needing his legs to work, and you never heard him complain. He never used it as an excuse. Got to turn your mic on for that, Chief.
I wasn't going to actually say it, but complain or not complain, it doesn't change the productivity level matching the contract pay.
No.
Yeah. There's no question the Cowboys paid him too much.
That's not even that's like saying the sun's not going to come up tomorrow. Yeah. There's no reason to discuss that. That's silly. Yes, they're paying him way too much money. And Jerry Jones is an idiot for signing that contract. I'd have franchise tagged him and made him sit on the bench and find him game checks every time he didn't show up.
But that wouldn't have been the best thing for your team.
Wouldn't have been the best thing for the team, but I would have won the fight. And Jerry Jones has lost that fight. And his mind. And his senses. And this segment. On the Bottom Line at 100.7 The Score.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.